You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.
Today on our show, I'm talking with Alice Dalton Brown. Alice, thanks for being with me today.
Thank you for inviting me. It's nice to talk to you.
So, Alice, let's talk about what you're working on now, and where are you? Are you in?
I have a house in the Finger Lakes where I live in the summer and a studio there, and I live in the Hudson Valley during the winter near New York City. So I am now in the Finger Lakes.
That sounds beautiful. And so tell me, what is it that you're working on at the moment in the Finger Lakes?
I'm working on both pastels and a small oil painting. I was a visiting artist at the American Academy in Rome a couple of years ago, and I've been developing themes relating to that visit in Rome.
Let's talk a little bit about that visit in Rome, because that's, of course, quite special. Tell me what happened at the American Academy in Rome, and so we can talk about what you're drawing from since then.
Well, I lived at the Academy for a month, and so it turns out that I was very taken with the view from the window of the apartment. I had a beautiful apartment there, and it's a McKim Mead White building. So I was on one side of a very large courtyard on about the third floor, overlooking the other side of the courtyard as well as some of the city. So since I was there just a month, I didn't want to go very far afield. I wanted to paint the things that I was becoming familiar with. So I did drawings there, and I took a lot of photographs. And since then, I've been developing pastels and oil paintings based on what I saw from my window. I also took a couple of other interesting themes from the Capitoline Museums, where I saw some just glimpses of things that were very interesting to me. So I've done some of that too.
So to talk about what you're working on now and what it's pulling from there, we're talking about, of course, architecture and light and shadow done in a kind of signature style, the way you work. But from the Academy in Rome, the themes that you began working were slightly different than what you had done before then because of the architecture. Like, what is it that really shifted the way you were working there?
In the very beginning of my professional career, I was particularly taken with architecture, and I've always painted or drawn what my gut responded to that I was seeing visually. And what I've responded to has gradually changed over all these years. One theme has led to another theme. So the architecture was part of my work for decades, actually. I was particularly interested. I became early on interested in houses, because I think the home is a metaphor, which we relate to as a place of identity. So that I was very drawn to that, and I particularly started depicting porches, as I think they occupy a special place which is neither inside nor outside of the house, and they capture light, and I was particularly interested in the reaction of light with the architecture, the interactions of light on the architecture. So these themes of the porch and the house and the light are themes that I worked on for many, many years. Gradually, I began to move from looking at the house to looking from the porch out. And then I gradually started moving inside the house and looking through the doors or windows that are inside the house. And those things developed. I started painting water as seen from a house and curtains that were blowing in the windows of houses that I was inside of. And so for about 20 years, it's interesting, I really got involved with the curtains, their action, the dynamism that they offered to the composition, and also more and more curtains themselves as they implied human presence in what might otherwise be simply a landscape. So I've not
That's interesting. So maybe we should talk a little bit about that, that human presence that's implied, because they do almost feel like they have stories to tell, and perhaps I'm reaching there, but when I think of Edward Hopper and the way he studied light and architecture, you know, there was always this, or often, as I remember of his work, always these figures. But in your work, there's an absence of figures generally, right? But they seem to be almost, I don't want to say imagined or intuited somehow, but these are places that figures typically inhabit. So there's some hint of the figure there, it seems.
Yes, I'm not at all interested in depicting a person in my places because I think the viewer is the person. So I create an environment which can in some sense hold the viewer. The viewer offers the presence. So it's very important not to include a figure. I also think, you mentioned Hopper, there's a coolness to his view. And my views are very personal and perhaps, I think, warmer views than what he is interested in.
That's interesting. So I mean, they're also a different scale, of course. Whereas, I mean, Hopper did paint large, but not as large as your painting. Typically, your paintings are all fairly large, all in the range of at least 6 feet in one direction. Is that the case?
I've done quite a range of sizes. I was thinking about that just before the call. The Butler Institute of American Art has recently taken a painting of mine into their collection, which is more than 6 by 9 feet in size. Meanwhile, as we speak, I'm working on an oil painting, which is 9 inches by 8 inches. So I've done quite a range of sizes. I love a large painting. I love a large-scale painting. But a number of themes ask for more intimacy. So, and sometimes I do a small, in fact, frequently, I do a small study in pastel or oil painting so that I can manipulate and maneuver quickly and change my ideas and change the composition without a whole lot of aggravation, colors, the whole thing. And then I do a very large painting. So I often will do a calculated scale up using a calculator, actually making measurements so that I know where to place things in a big painting. But I've got a lot of the major decisions made because at 6 feet, if you paint something in, it's kind of hard to change with the kind of detail that I paint. So I often work things out on a small scale. So I have a lot of small-scale paintings as well.
But the painting you're working on now, is that something you're working out, or will it remain that size? Because as you're saying, sometimes certain subjects call for more intimacy, which seems to me to mean that they would remain at that size, that there's something about the scale that you want to keep in that case.
Yes, I'm not sure about this one, to tell you the truth, since I'm just in the middle of it. Hmm. So I don't really know where it's going to go. But that's
it's such a different process, right? It's a small thing, right? You can experiment more, whereas a big thing, it's more like a child. I mean, it's enormous, right? It's a huge
commitment. That's right. And ever since for the last 20 years, people have been saying, "Oh, you should use Photoshop," because I take bits and pieces from various drawings or photographs that I have and put them together. And they say, "You should work this out on the computer ahead of time," but that's not how it works, actually. And even working a small painting where I've put this and that someplace or the other, when I scale something up, lo and behold, it's quite different on a large scale. Nevertheless, I can get a strong feeling for where it should go by maneuvering in a little space.
Hmm. And in terms of the subject matter that you're working with, that also continues to change. I mean, though the subject seems primarily light, the amount of space that the viewer has to move into in terms of, the horizon line continues to change. At the moment, do you restrict yourself to a certain kind of space when you're working, or is that not part of the process?
I really disallow rules. I don't ever go in with an intellectual preconception. What I did do, though, I've worked on themes of the windows, and then carrying forward with just the curtains over and near water, and the themes of water for several years. And after my last show, where I did some really large paintings of water, most of which had some curtains, it was after that that I was invited to the Academy. So off I went, and I realized I had, in fact, I think even before I went to the Academy, I had a sense of having closed a trajectory. A long trajectory that I had been on, developing the themes of looking from inside the house with the curtains, moving to outside, moving to the water. And it felt like I had come to some kind of conclusion with my ideas on this. So when I went to Rome, suddenly it was a completely different light, completely different, view. And I realized that some of my earliest themes, which were, again, idea of home, house, dwelling, those were suddenly made very real to me in this new setting. Also, the colors were so different from the water and the curtains. And I was extremely eager to try all kinds of new colors, new tubes of paint that I had, all earth colors, a different warm light that my northern light, which is from the Finger Lakes mostly, was just great to have a completely new view, a new theme. So I came back really to some of my original impulses, which were for the house. And it seems to me that there again, looking at these spaces, looking to windows which might have something happening behind them that we can't see, some kind of sort of a surreal setting almost, a view over the building with something domestic and private happening inside, I found was very compelling. The shapes of the trees, the cypress, the umbrella trees, were wonderful, wonderful shapes, and interacting with the architecture of the building. These are themes that I've been exploring since then, with a new range of ideas that are contemporary now for me.
And when you talked about Rome, you know, which is so exciting, you know, in terms of how that seems to have encouraged a shift in your work. You talked about the light there. I mean, initially I was going to talk about how, you know, the types of houses or porches or architecture you're using, but you mentioned the light there. And of course, this is something artists talk about, but it's kind of hard to discuss in some ways. If you can, what was so different about the light there in Rome, if that's what you meant? How was that different than what you're working on or with in the Finger Lakes?
The light is a warmer light. I guess it's a more southern, I don't know much about geography, it's kind of pathetic, but I don't. But nevertheless, it seems like a much warmer light. And I was there in February and March. So you would think it would be cool, if it's ever cool, but it wasn't. It was very warm. I'd spent summers in Italy several times with friends. I've rented a villa, and so I'd already spent time in the summer in Tuscany, outside of Lucca, but I'd never been there in the winter, and indeed the light was just seemed to enhance the warm colors. The buildings are, of course, warm colors. They're either natural brick or painted in earth tones. The tiles are reddish, and everything is infused with simply a warmer light than the northern light of New York State, upstate New York, where I have lived.
That's so interesting, you know. And is there? Do you prefer the light there? I mean, you know, initially talking about it. And of course, I've traveled to these places. It seems so romantic in a way, and attractive. The thinking of light, talking about light, seeing the light of Europe and Italy the way you're talking about it. When you come home and begin working with this light, does it seem just as exciting, or do you miss Rome?
I don't really. Most of my work somehow relates to memory in any case. When I first moved to New York City in 1970, I started painting barns, which is all I had seen in my landscape in upstate New York. And I think that was maybe a harbinger of the way I work. I think what I'm interested in is things that stir memory and which are part of my memory, not necessarily what I'm looking at in a contemporaneous way. Also, I'm a person who doesn't really need to go on holiday because I always feel like I'm on holiday. I can go where I want to in my studio, so I'm never missing being somewhere. So I don't really miss Rome, except that I think being there was an incredible experience to be there for a month. I didn't produce much work there. I made a lot of documentation, but mostly I ran around and tried to see as much as I could. And it's a city of history and of genius. And, you know, throughout my education, of course, I knew, oh, this piece is in Rome, that piece is in Rome. But I hadn't really kind of put it all together. There is so much there. I ran every day, all day, and didn't see everything by a long shot. It was just incredible. So all this genius, if anything, is a little intimidating. Nevertheless, we do what we can, and I come home and make what I personally was reacting to in my personal environment.
And let's talk a little bit about what's happening next. Are some of the work you're doing preparing for a show, or is there anything specific that you're working towards in terms of a show?
I don't have a show on the horizon, so I'm simply doing what I've always done, which is make work.
The work is so enormous, though. I would think you'd need a lot of space to house all this, because the work also needs the kind of reception or the home of a collector, because they're, I mean, often large pieces, not all, of course, or a museum, as you were saying, a museum just acquired one of your pieces. Was that the case?
Well, yes, that's true. I have to say I've been very fortunate in that most of my work has sold, so I don't have a real inventory problem. And just this, well, six months ago maybe, out of nowhere, a Greek collector appeared, and he bought two paintings, and he said he wants me to come and see where he's hung them in Athens, and if I would agree to come, he would have his staff plan an incredible trip. So, you know, I said, well, who could refuse an opportunity like this? So,
right.
So at the end of September, I'm taking off for 2 weeks in Greece, and we'll see what happens there.
So how do these people materialize out of nowhere, though? I mean, I know you've had galleries and plenty of shows and a great history of work, but are these not people who just find you from seeing your work in museums or other people's homes? How do they materialize out of nowhere? Because it does sound like you've been fortunate, but also these are wonderful relationships that seem to be floating around you.
Well, interestingly enough, a couple of years ago, I was represented for over 30 years by the Fishback Gallery in New York, and I had a show every 2 years, and some years every year, sometimes every year. So I've had about 16, 17 shows for the Fishback Gallery, and then a few other museum shows and invited shows. But 2 years ago, the gallery closed in New York. So at this time, I don't have gallery representation. So how this Greek collector found me, I have no idea. I don't know. I've never met him, but I got a call from one of the big hotels in New York City saying they had a guest who wanted to buy a couple of my paintings. Could this happen? And we did the whole thing by email, photos, communication. He chose paintings. I had them, I got a really great professional shipper, and off they went. So I haven't met him. I have to find out, you know, how he knows about me. I really don't even know.
Well, did he see your work in a hotel? There was some work of yours in a hotel somewhere?
I don't think any of my work is in a hotel, to my knowledge. So I just don't know. He was staying at a hotel, the concierge called me. So to be discovered. I don't know. I don't know how people find me. Since I have no gallery.
Exciting. That's exciting. Sounds like an exciting trip to Greece.
I've been invited to a few shows since the gallery closed, and I don't know how you found me. How did you find me?
I found you because another artist referred you. That's how I find almost everyone in this series. There are other artists referring other artists. Yeah, it's interesting how we all get found somehow, isn't it? That's such a curious kind of notion. So are you looking for another, you are looking for another gallery actively at the moment, or no?
Well, I'm not really actively looking. I mean, I'm open to it, but I will just wait and see what happens. So many interesting things have happened in the last couple of years. I was invited to have an exhibition at the Butler Institute of American Art, and they came and fetched a lot of paintings and collected paintings. I didn't initiate that. So I think interesting things are happening.
That's exciting. And but before we go, I'm so glad you spent this time talking with me. But before we go, I want to ask you what you're reading at the moment. I'm always curious what people are reading.
Well, it so happens that the book I've just started reading on my Kindle is Kudos by Rachel Cusk. It's the last in a trilogy she has done. And in my studio, I'm listening on audio, the first of her trilogy, Outline, which I already had read, but I thought I would like to revisit it while I'm reading the third, you know, with my eyes. So that's the most interesting reading I'm doing now. But I just started Kudos because about 2 or 3 days ago I finished Bleak House, Dickens' Bleak House, and I read that because I'm in a book group in Manhattan, which has been going on for about 25 years now. And we read a longer book over the summer because we don't meet in August. So for our next meeting, we're reading Bleak House, and I just finished it. And it's a wonderful novel to revisit. Very Victorian. I was more struck by that this time than the first time. But a wonderful contrast to the most contemporary piece, the work of Rachel Cusk.
Alice, I want to thank you so much for talking to me today. It's been a pleasure, and I wish you luck with your work in the future.
Thank you very much, Brainerd. Thank you for calling.
You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.